Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So we in the West have both imported and inculcated a problem. You've probably seen the endless videos on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook of just roving street gangs with machetes, axes, raiding corner shops, showing a flagrant disregard for human life. And, well, I don't think it can tenably continue.
I watched one in Birmingham the other day where it's just a bunch of urban youths wearing black clothes and face masks, literally just in on a Birmingham street in the middle of the day, swinging each other with machetes. And I'm just like, how has it come to this?
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to go through some examples of the US and UK's urban decay. Yeah. And then also look at the cultural reasons where the government are aiding and abetting this total degeneracy and amorality, because we need to put a stop to this. It's just frankly sickening. You can consider it a nice little companion piece to this segment we did quite a while ago now on Sadiq Khan's Lawless London, where the group of black youths were running into Oxford Street and looting candy shops owned by Albanian migrants. And we therefore have a ethnic dichotomy there of where we have to give this disclaimer, of course, because the Albanians are majority white, the youths raiding the shops were majority black, and therefore it's not due to melanin, it's due to culture, largely.
It's due to ethics. Mm. That's what it is. And I just think we should frame this very quickly. It's not sympathetic or compassionate to the black community to allow them to continue stabbing one another.
No.
That's in no way good for them, and it's a complete dereliction of duty on the part of the authorities.
Yeah, it's farcical to say Black Lives Matter when young black men are getting shot in Chicago, stabbed in Brixton, and more black babies are aborted than born in New York.
Yeah, but I mean, if this was happening in my community, the English community, I'd be demanding the most harsh policing you could imagine. I'd be like, look, I want police on every corner, stopping every child and taking every weapon. And you wouldn't say, oh, that's racist, because it wouldn't be racist. It would be necessary to stop the kids killing each other.
Yeah.
And I say this as a father, you know, like, police the children if they need policing, for the love of God.
Hmm. So if we go on to our first example, start off a light-hearted one. A guy got his house raided for drugs, and in the waning days of Boris Johnson's prime ministership, he showed up at the drug raid. So
did he?
Yeah. Look, right, okay. There he is. And things are just treated kind of as a joke now.
Well,
It's like, my house is being raided because I'm holding an illegal substance, no matter your feelings on drug decriminalisation. And the Prime Minister's just there for a photo op.
I can't help but notice that when Boris went to Ukraine, he didn't wear a stab vest. When he's in London, he is wearing a stab vest.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Big think, no consequences there. Yeah. If we go to the next one, a very recent example, which Rory brought to my attention, a drill rapper is killed. His girlfriend told us he was a family man, an upstanding pillar of the community. Yeah. Turns out he was in a machete fight with his gang rivals.
Didn't he start the machete fight?
I believe so.
If you scroll up a little bit, John, after launching a machete attack. So it's like, live by the machete, die by the machete.
Yeah. He was found with stab injuries on Wine Road after police were called to the brawl in nearby Overton Road, which locals likened to a, quote, war zone.
Just sympathetic, and it's compassionate to just let them war like that. It's just compassionate. It's the progressive thing to do, to let them do this to each other.
Yeah, why are we turning our neighbourhoods into basically the Liberian Civil War, where people are running around with knives in broad daylight?
It's madness.
So then there's the next one. Did you hear about the Leicester police stabbing? Leicester Square?
I heard about it, but I never looked into it.
Okay, well, he was identified. Can we scroll down slightly, John, just so we can get a name? Mohammed Rahman.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Just a British man going about his daily...
Average British man stabbing the cops.
daily routine of knife attacks. It took plenty to detain him. There was also another video, which I didn't include, of another man, I believe it was in Birmingham or something like that, where he's fighting with about 9 police officers with a machete. They tase him. It takes all of them to go down, and he still slashes at them.
Right.
So there's also the problem of police training here. Yeah. Not sufficiently forceful enough.
And can't believe the woke police need training on how to deal with stabbings.
Did you see the video from Crimewatch UK yesterday where a gentleman had police shot to his house?
I did see that, yeah, and they elbowed him in the head because he called them a dickhead.
Yeah, they pepper sprayed him, 9 police officers showed up, threatened his wife with a public order breach.
I suppose it's less scary than dealing with machete-wielding inner-city youths.
You've got to hit that kind of quota somehow.
Yeah.
So here's a master thread, and we're not going to click on each individual one, but we are going to scroll slowly down them. And I wanted to document this before some of the videos get taken down, obviously. But McDonald's in Nottingham being raided by
urban youths.
Yeah. But how did this many people get organized as a flash mob in one place?
Well, social media. That's how they do it.
Yeah, but I can't wrap my head around the mentality of, I know what I'm going to do. Just because someone goes to tell me to show up and ransack a fast food joint, I'm going to do it with no fear of consequences.
Yeah, well, I mean, they know they're not going to get arrested.
Yeah, unfortunately. So if we scroll down again, we'll just keep going slowly down here. That one's unfortunately been removed. How frustrating. Then we see the candy shop one that we covered before. If we scroll down, just keep going, John. Some of these have actually been taken. A shoplifter has filled up a wheelie bin in a co-op and is walking out, and the security guards are doing absolutely nothing to help.
Just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. Keep going. There's just tons of stuff. Yeah. There's a guy just saying he's nicking women's jewelry, bragging about it on TikTok.
Yeah.
We just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird that the profile of the offenders is very uniform.
Yeah. Same one again. More Oxford Street stuff. Mm. Just the fact that these are all there, it's just relatively endless.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff in here where, like, this one is the most brutal.
Yeah.
Just beating a man in the middle of the street. Yeah. Goes after everyone that tries to stop him.
But it's just like, why? Look, there are 3 of you. Grab him.
Yeah.
Just grab him. You absolute cowards.
Yeah.
Like, just grab him.
Yeah.
But let's keep going because...
Yeah, just keep going, John. Literally, just scroll slowly down if you can. Yeah.
Great.
More stuff. More stuff. Delivery driver gets his thing nicked. And you can see here just a trend of...
Just lawlessness.
Yeah.
Just total anarchy.
Yeah, you just have to call them at this point the barbarians within our gates.
Yeah.
They're not even...
Oh, they are. Yeah.
...rattling at the cage anymore. Yeah. They've been allowed in. They're either imported or born here, and they've been contaminated by a culture that shows complete disregard for property and human life.
But it's in particular, it's when they do it. That's the thing. It's when inner-city youths are committing crime. It's just like, well, it's racist to criticise. It's just their culture, blah, 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 blah. It's compassionate to let them do it. And it's like, no, it's not.
No.
You know, this wouldn't be allowed in any other community, but for some reason it's allowed for this community, and this is just terrible. And again, it's not all of them. It's not every, like, it's not a question of race. It's a question of community ethics. I mean, look at this.
Yeah.
How is this not about ethics?
Just kicking a man in the head for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it. And we're just totally permissive of this.
Yeah.
Like, no one will be arrested for any of this, let alone charged.
Yeah, I'm sure this smash and grab at McDonald's is just part and parcel of living in a big city.
We'd live in the dream. We robbed a McDonald's. Anyway,
utterly aspirational. Yeah. So if we can go on to the next link, please. I think I've sufficiently depressed you. There was also in Florida an attempted beheading. A guy who grabbed scissors near the cash register, stabbed the victim, and then he grabbed a knife and tried to cut the guy's head off.
See, this is the thing. I kind of blame the victim on this one. If you're in Florida, you should have been carrying a gun.
Yeah. Well, concealed carry permits are actually harder to get than you think in Florida. Oh. That's something apparently Ron DeSantis needs to work on.
Right, okay. Yeah.
If we can go to the next one.
Yeah.
Yep. This one is in New York.
Yeah, I saw this. The guy pulls out a hatchet, doesn't he?
Yeah, and just starts threatening random women. So the other guy started the fight with him first. We don't get the full context, but they just start beating him over the head, as you can see shortly here. And he just sort of takes it. And then he brings a machete that he's already got in his backpack walking around with him. So it's just the culture now to, as we said, there's a difference between arming yourself for self-defense and then carrying around a bladed weapon that clearly, I mean, he's waiting, he's shrugging his shoulders till they stop hitting him, waiting for the fight to finish, and then brings the blade out. And he literally walks up to a woman in a booth who isn't involved in the fight, as far as I know, unless one of the fellas is a boyfriend, but still a woman who is not aggressed upon you, and goes, "Are you scared of me yet?"
Well, I mean, I'm scared of you.
Yeah, it's purely about reputation, intimidation, and vengeance. It's not about self-defense at all. There we go. Brings out a hatchet, like he's Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers or something, just start smashing up tables, threatening people, cutting their limbs off. This is not civilized behavior. I can't believe I have to say that. The fact that this has been allowed to go on in London and Democrat cities, major left-wing metropolises, the permissiveness is borderline murderous.
Well, you get what you tolerate.
Yeah, frustratingly. But I still live in bloody London. I didn't vote for this. So no. I'd quite like it cleaned up, please. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Then if we look at this next one, I just had to play this clip because this is almost comical levels of anarchy. If we can just play this, John. It's a Philadelphia wah-wah.
Y'all all stupid. For real. Y'all all ugly, stupid, broke.
A lot of the employees filming it like a nightly occurrence. Like, what else can you do?
Yeah. I mean, this is the fall of civilization in real time.
Yeah.
Like these idiots, let them carry on. Let them, like, because eventually, what will happen is what happened in California, mm-hmm. where shops just said, well, we're just pulling out of this state.
Yeah.
And so they won't have anything.
Yeah. There's actually a woman twerking at the back there.
Of course it is.
Jumping up.
This is Heinlein's right. The degenerate youth not being patrolled and policed will turn anarchic and destroy everything around it. Totally right.
She's, one of the girls there actually just asked, are y'all making any food?
No.
Can I pay for my sandwich? It looks like the early days of zombie apocalypse in here. Pick a time, please. So I thought then we'd go on to exactly why this is happening in America and what's wrong with it. I can see your face already.
God, yeah.
You've been introduced to the gelatinous mass called Lizzo, haven't you?
I have
you?
Heard of Lizzo, yes.
So she's one of the most popular musicians of our day and age, a true artisan.
A representative of the youth?
Well, she sees herself as a representative of the black community and black culture. And so I thought we'd listen to the horse's mouth of exactly why that girl was twerking in the background of that violent video, shall we? Then.
I want you to know where twerking came from. I think everyone should know where everything comes from. You should know where your food and water come from. You should know where your clothes come from. It's important to me to keep the origin story of twerking alive. So here's some farm to table for that ass. So thank you. Modern-day twerking derived from black people and black culture. It has a direct parallel to West African dances like Mapuka. Traditionally, Mapuka was a dance for West African women to be used as a celebration of joy, religious worship, or a dance to do at a wedding to show you were DTF or DTM. Down to marry, down to marry. Get your mind out the gutter. Black women carried these dances across the transatlantic slave trade to the ring shout in what became the Black American Church, into the hips of Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith when they sang the blues, into the bounce of Josephine Baker's banana dance, from jazz dance to jitterbug, from shake your tail feather to shake your thing to that thing thangin'. Black people carried the origins of this dance through our DNA, through our blood, through our bones.
So the blood and soil argument for sexually promiscuous dancing.
Okay.
It's a bit wild, isn't it?
I mean, I'm just saying that, like, even, I think if you went to those African women who are just, like, you know, jigging a little bit and did, like, Lizzo's twerking at them, they'd be like, get the slipper.
Yeah. Just a public service announcement. Black people did not invent being whores.
Yeah.
Funnily enough.
Yeah.
But do you not think that being a sexual degenerate might have a slight inhibiting effect on your ability to constrain your basest appetites, pursue a higher good, and not raid liquor stores or be single mothers? Maybe. Also, just
it,
maybe.
Like, it's so demeaning, right, to say, yeah, black people, we're intrinsically, genetically programmed to twerk. I mean, that sounds like something like Richard Spencer would say about black people.
It's the inverse of the Smithsonian's chart, where it said that hard work is whiteness. Well, bum shaking is blackness, apparently.
Yeah, that's like, this sounds like demeaning, derogatory white nationalist rhetoric to me coming out of her mouth. And it's like, look, like, it's genetic, and it's like, there's no dignity to twerking. There's no dignity, nobility. There's nothing honorable and decent about it.
But that is the institutionally backed argument, because her saying it is an expression of joy in the African colonies is the same thing as BLM saying they're trying to promote black joy, and then YouTube, the Democrat Party, funneling lots of money to them to
create
black joy content. Exactly. Yeah.
Because when she said it, it was all white liberals in the audience cheering.
And speaking of white liberals and aiding and abetting this, Lizzo last night did a leg of her tour where she played James Madison, former US president, 200-year-old crystal flute and twerked while doing it. Bear in mind, James Madison never used this himself. So only Lizzo's lips have been on this thing.
No, you've got to understand, right? If I recall correctly, James Madison was like, listen, right? I am not noble or worthy enough to use this flute. But in a few hundred years' time, there might be someone who is. And that person has arrived.
It's Excalibur.
Yeah,
genuinely.
Yeah, it is the American Excalibur.
I guess she's president now.
Yeah. James Madison's just watching in heaven approvingly. Yeah. Brilliant.
I mean,
that's what I wanted in the American Republic.
There's a strange contradiction, right? So if we're still man this argument. When the Trump supporters walked around the Capitol, we did say the Democrats saying this is our sacred capital is ludicrous because it's in public ownership, right?
Yes.
There's nothing deified about it. Mm-hmm. However, there is still something in your gut which says this profanes the national continuity. This is an artifact of one of your executive figureheads, and now this grotesque person with an arse on the either side of their body and not that long a lifespan is using it when he never did to sing songs about her buttocks and promiscuity.
In America, it's not to say that there isn't anything about America that is sacred or isn't sacred. It's that the government isn't sacred.
Yes.
That's the important thing. You know, the founding fathers, the principles, the Constitution are sacred to Americans. And so this is a form of a sacred artifact to Americans.
Yeah.
The state building, no, that's just a building. You know, that's the point. The sovereignty resides within the people. James Madison being one of those original founding fathers who made up the we the people. And so you would think that should be treated with a bit of respect. But hey, why don't you just go and twerk on stage with it.
Yeah, it denigrates gratitude to the past.
Oh,
that's
absolutely
what it is. Rather than
this is the American tradition being profaned.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But we're saying that. I put something about that. If you scroll up slightly, John, my original tweet, nothing particularly outlandish. Scroll down, and the reason I pulled this reply up is because, so Liv Lever heads up Blue Beyond, Conservative Party youth activist based. And she's saying, I mean, seeing as how she has a net worth around 12 million, Lizzo contributes quite a lot. Yeah, loads of people are idiots. Loads of people have poor taste.
Yeah.
It's an appeal to popularity fallacy.
Lots of evil people have lots of money. Look at Bill Gates.
Yeah. But there's also, and we don't need to click on the likes here, but some of the likes and replies to this were all Adam Smith Institute employees or Conservative Party
parliamentary
assistants.
It's just economics. That's all life consists of.
Yeah. And you wonder why we see over in the Conservatives in the UK the unwillingness to deal with Sadiq Khan, Labour mayors, lawless London.
Yeah.
And in the US, we see the Democrats aiding and abetting this within their cities. And it's just this complete amoralism to both the cultural degeneracy and the actual physical knife and axe attacks.
This is why the libertarians are no real assistance in the war against the continual moral degradation of the West.
Yeah.
Like if you can only see things in the very thin frame of economic contribution, then what can I say? You know, you're not a moral agent.
No. So what are the policies that worsen this, shall we? It gets worse.
Of course it does.
New York City, where we saw that axe attack, has eliminated bail, nearly $1,000.
So they just let them out, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Just,
I mean, that's what they want anyway. Because at the end of the day, this all fundamentally comes from the framing that the criminal is never responsible for their own criminality and have done nothing wrong because society made them that way.
Yeah.
How could they have been any different?
How delightfully Rousseauian of you. I'm sure the French Revolution didn't have any problems with that. If we go to the next one, Illinois, as you brought up the specter of Chicago, quote, turn the city into the purge. NBC 5 Chicago. On January the 1st, 2023 at midnight, a very real version of The Purge will be enacted. I think I've got the wrong link there, but there you go. Must be a New York Post one. The Safety Act, Accountability, Fairness and Equity Act will completely eliminate cash bail for the majority of defendants charged with criminal acts. Judges will decide whether or not to release defendants on a case-by-case basis based on if they feel a person poses a threat to the community or is a flight risk. So it's up to the individual judge's determination rather than their actual crimes. And if you get a liberal judge in there, of course they're going to be let out immediately.
There are a bunch of judges who are literally bankrolled by George Soros.
We'll get onto that.
Oh, okay.
There will be no bail or automatic detainment for second-degree murder. Kidnapping,
really?
Armed robbery, drug-induced homicide, and aggravated DUI are also let off the hook.
If you're smacked out of your head on some drugs and you murder someone, they're like, well, you're free to go.
Yeah. They'll just end up making more serial killers, genuinely.
It's not even serial killers. It'll just be smackheads, as you say, like purging around the city.
Yep. A number of Illinois state attorneys wrote in the Chicago Tribune that there have been spikes in crime since the passage of the Safety Act, and the upcoming abolition of cash bail will create major safety issues. But Governor J.B. Pritzker, who signed the bill into law last year, calls it criminal justice reform, because, of course, it's not about keeping people safe. It's about number go down because... disproportionate number
racism,
of lockups.
Yeah. But this isn't criminal justice reform. This is criminal justice abolition.
Yeah. Well, we can see that in the stats, because it says as of August 2022, overall violent crime is up 36% in Chicago compared to the same time frame in 2021. And the author of this piece says, my own baby brother Christian was murdered in Chicago on June 24th this year. The law will endanger even more innocent people like him.
This is not compassion.
No.
This is not compassion.
Well, we can see the effects of these policies in the Chicago Police Department. On page one, murder is up 60% from before the BLM riots. And it's only up 3% since they stopped, bear in mind. But as we just heard, as of August 2022, it's up 36%. So they keep doing leaps and bounds. And it's not because the population has changed.
No.
It's just because of permissive policies and race grievance activism from BLM, for example. So these are the consequences of these policies. If we can just go to the next one. Oh, actually, no. It's George Soros's little op-ed. He's... the reason behind a lot of this.
Oh, yeah. Look, July 31st, 2022, George Soros, why I support reform prosecutors, as in literally why I pay leftists to allow criminals out into the wider world. What was his reason?
This reads like a confessional. He says, like most of us, I'm concerned about crime. One of government's most important roles is to ensure public safety, because that's going swimmingly. I have been involved in efforts to reform the criminal justice system for more than 30 years. I have been a philanthropist. Yet our system is rife with injustices that make us less safe. Yeah, like you, operating in it. The idea that we need to choose between justice and safety is false. They reinforce each other. If people trust the justice system, it will work. And if the system works, public safety will improve.
So why pay for it to be abolished?
Because we need to acknowledge that black people in the US are 5 times more likely to be sent to the jail than white people. This is an injustice that undermines our democracy. Is it if they are committing crimes?
Right.
It's not black people.
Yeah, right.
It's criminals. Simple. In recent years, reform-minded prosecutors and other law enforcement officials around the country have been coalescing around an agenda that promises to be more effective and just. This agenda includes prioritizing the resources of the criminal justice system to protect people against violent crime while letting out second-degree murderers.
I don't think they believe this. I think what they're doing is lying to your face here, and I think they want the collapse of our civilization. I think they want you to live under an anarcho-tyranny. I think these people are evil.
Yeah, because as soon as you have that nihilism, you'll have the people clamoring for an authoritarian solution. Yep. They can slip socialism in under the radar.
Yep.
This is why I've supported the election and more recently re-election of prosecutors who support reform. I've done it transparently, and I have no intention of stopping. That is a threat. The funds I provide enable sensible, reform-minded candidates to receive a hearing from the public. Judging by the results, the public likes what it's hearing. Those that are still alive.
It's remarkable. Just remarkable.
Yeah, okay. Reminder, the group that's suing Ron DeSantis for the Martha's Vineyard deportation and after he fired one of Soros' prosecutors is connected to the Open Society Foundation.
Of course they are.
So they're also undermining this activity in the states that didn't vote for you.
Of course they are.
Yeah. So the new stats don't support state bail, funnily enough. Finally, just going on to the New York Post article. Says that, surprise, surprise, the New York City data, according to Nobel advocates, prove that the state's criminal justice reforms aren't boosting crime. Apparently, it's just a crock of S. The advocates point out that recidivism is slightly down from 2019 to the first 9 months of 2021. That is, people who get arrested but then released, whether because the reforms eliminated bail for most crimes or because they generally lowered the bail amounts, are still caught reoffending within 6 months, about the same rate as before. What this oh-so-convenient leaves out, as the reform is intended, a heck of a lot more perps are being sprung, that is, granted quote-unquote supervised release, pending trial, decarceration, and that's the whole point, which means a large group of people is reoffending at the same rate but just aren't being counted.
Yeah.
So the total numbers of rearrests are way up from 1994 for all of 2019 to 4,004 for the first three quarters of 2021, the last quarter we don't have stats on, equivalent to about 5,340 for the full year. So that is more than 2.5%, more than 200% increase.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
If I kill someone or I assault someone, you're just going to let me out.
Yeah.
Then there's nothing stopping me from doing whatever the hell I like.
Yeah, it's pathological permissiveness. And so if we come onto the solution here, I just thought we'd end with a plug, because I'm sure you agree with me. You should go and subscribe to lotuseaters.com to watch yourself and I cover the genealogy of morals, because, as you suggested, every transgression against a law-abiding citizen by a permissive justice system or the individual criminal requires a retributive correction. Yes. Allowing the crime to go unpunished is an unjust incursion on the dignity of society and everyone who lives in it as a moral constituency. Now, thankfully, the backlash, as we've already documented in an earlier segment, has started against Drag Queen Story Hour. This is the next one down the road. We can't keep looking at videos of inner city youths chopping each other up and innocent members of the public on tubes, in fast food restaurants, in stores with machetes and axes, and let them get away with it. The next one, after we get them from stopping coming after our kids, is to stop them rampaging in the streets with violent weaponry, because it's not good for them and it certainly isn't good for us.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the premium videos we do, this one on the relationship wisdom from Patrice O'Neill. If you want to find out what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.